Today is Friday, March 28th, 2025, and you are listening to the World Socialist Website. The Crisis in Turkey and the Fight for Revolutionary Leadership by Sosyalist Eşitlik Grubu, the Socialist Equality Group in Turkey. Turkey has been rocked by mass protests involving millions of people beginning March 19th. This movement, which was triggered by the arrest of Ekrem İmamoğlu, the mayor of Istanbul and presidential candidate of the Kemalist Republican People's Party, the CHP, by the Islamist government of President Recep Tayyip Erdogan, raises critical political issues arising from the deep crisis of the capitalist system in Turkey and globally. Democracy in Turkey, which has been extremely fragile since the foundation of the Republic in 1923, is staggering under the pressure of the escalating global imperialist war and growing social inequality. Basic democratic rights, such as the right to vote, the right to due process, freedom of expression, freedom of assembly and demonstration, and freedom of the press, are under serious threat. The Erdogan government is throwing away its legitimacy based on elections, the constitution, and the law. A massive police state crackdown has been launched to suppress the protests. As of Thursday, nearly 2,000 people have been detained, and at least 260 of them have been unlawfully imprisoned. Among those imprisoned are leaders and members of many left-wing parties, including the Labour Party, EMEP, the Workers' Democracy Party, IDP, the Left Party, the Workers' Party of Turkey, TIP, the Communist Movement of Turkey, TKH, and the Communist Party of Turkey, TKP. Levent Dölek, deputy chairman of the Revolutionary Workers' Party, DIP, and an academic at Istanbul University, was arrested for taking part in an action in solidarity with the student boycott. The Socialist Eşitlik Grubu, the Socialist Equality Group, the Turkish section of the International Committee of the Fourth International, regardless of its political differences with these groups, demands the release of all political prisoners and calls on the masses of workers and youth to defend basic democratic rights. The mass protests by students and working people in Istanbul and almost every city in the country, defying unconstitutional bans on demonstrations and police repression, constitute one of the largest anti-government movements in the world in the last period. The revolutionary crisis that broke out in Turkey is a harbinger of the future of other countries. The objective causes that are mobilizing the broad masses, the defense of democratic rights, anger at staggering social inequality, and opposition to endless imperialist war, are global. The burning question facing the working class in Turkey and internationally is the development of a revolutionary political perspective and leadership. The re-election of Donald Trump in the U.S. and his attempt to establish a presidential dictatorship in the interests of the financial oligarchy have encouraged and accelerated authoritarian and fascistic tendencies around the world. The establishment of an authoritarian regime in Turkey, as in the U.S., is not due to the intentions of this or that politician, but to the objective needs of the ruling class. The dictatorship of the capitalist oligarchy over the economy and society brings with it a regime of political dictatorship. As the World Socialist website explained on the election of Trump, quote, "The coming to power of a second Trump administration represents the violent realignment of the American political superstructure to correspond with the real social relations that exist in the United States." This is also true of Turkey. Turkey is a country divided by fierce class antagonisms, and the ruling class is sitting on a social powder keg that is heading towards an explosion. The presidential dictatorship, which has entered a new phase with the arrest of İmamoğlu, is above all targeting the working class. Turkey, the world's 17th largest economy, leads Europe in income and wealth inequality. Official inflation, which at one point reached 80%, has been extremely high since 2022. In addition to this, the severe austerity program pursued by the government has devastated the real wages and living standards of the working class. Class tensions have been exacerbated by the government's response to the COVID-19 pandemic through a massive transfer of wealth from the bottom to the top. The policies of the Erdogan government, which first came to power in 2002 and integrated the Turkish economy into the world economy and capitalist globalization more than ever before, brought about massive changes in class relations. Increasing proletarianization and a growing working class have been turned into a source of cheap labor for international and national capital. While 65% of the population lived in cities in 2000, this figure is now over 90%. By 2022, the proportion of wage workers was over 70%, up from 48% in 2000. With a labor force of 35 million and large industrial cities, Turkey has a highly developed and increasingly militant working class. This militancy is expressed in growing wildcat strike movements after decades in which the trade union confederations, whether pro-government or pro-bourgeois opposition, helped to suppress the class struggle. The year 2024 ended with the metal workers challenging Erdogan's strike ban. This year has seen mass struggles from miners to textile workers, from health workers to construction workers. Events in Turkey have rapidly vindicated the following assessment from the WSWS 2025 New Year's statement. Quote, "The past 5 years have been dominated by the response of the ruling class to the capitalist crisis. The next 5 years will be dominated by an explosive eruption of the class struggle, which is already underway. Workers throughout the world confront an escalating global war, an ongoing COVID-19 pandemic, along with the emergence of new pathogens like H5N1 bird flu and Mpox, a coordinated assault on basic democratic rights, and a massive increase in exploitation and social want. Underlying these interlinked crises is an oligarchy that subordinates all of society to profit and the accumulation of personal wealth. The fight against the oligarchy is, by its very nature, a revolutionary task." End quote. The same capitalist oligarchy represented by the Erdogan government has been deeply involved in the imperialist wars of aggression in the Middle East, Central Asia, and North Africa for nearly 35 years in pursuit of its reactionary interests. From the moment he took office, Erdogan has done everything he could to support U.S.-led imperialist aggression. He backed the war in Iraq, sent troops to Afghanistan, and assisted the regime change wars in Libya and Syria. Whatever his rhetorical criticism, he has supported the ongoing genocide of the Zionist Israeli regime in Gaza with U.S. NATO backing. Turkey, whose territory contains the pipeline route for Azerbaijan's oil shipments to Israel, hosts U.S. and NATO bases targeting Iran and its allies. Its complicity in the genocide of the Palestinians has contributed to the Erdogan government's loss of credibility in the eyes of the population. The inability of the Erdogan government to fully adapt to the U.S.-NATO offensive against Russia, which escalated after the 2014 coup in Ukraine, and its alliance with the Kurdish nationalist movement in the war for regime change in Syria, also accelerated the dictatorial turn in Turkey. In the midst of an intensifying imperialist war, tensions have risen as Turkey has tried to maneuver between the U.S. and Russia. This culminated in the NATO-backed coup on July 15, 2016, which aimed to overthrow Erdogan. After the coup attempt was defeated thanks to mass opposition, he launched a violent counteroffensive by declaring a state of emergency that would last for almost 2 years. A controversial constitutional referendum in 2017 gave Erdogan sweeping powers. As the socialist Eşitlik Grubu stated at the time, quote, "Erdogan's proposed constitutional amendment shows that even the trappings of democracy in Turkey are no longer compatible with the militarist and dictatorial drive of the ruling class. He can no longer tolerate internal political opposition. He must seek powers to crush opposition from rival sections of the bourgeoisie and from emerging opposition in the working class." End quote. Since then, with the COVID-19 pandemic since 2020, the U.S.-NATO war with Russia over Ukraine beginning in 2022, and the Israeli genocide in Gaza starting in 2023, both the crises of the world capitalist system and the opposition of the working masses and youth to imperialism have deepened. Today, more than ever, the Turkish bourgeoisie needs a dictatorial regime to implement a policy in line with the growing aggression of U.S.-NATO imperialism, which is hated by the overwhelming majority of the people. Turkey is seen as a critical ally in the Trump administration's plans to recolonize the Middle East under the full domination of U.S. imperialism. From Palestine to Lebanon, from Syria to Yemen, the U.S.-Israeli aggression aims at a new Middle East, in which the map of the region will be redrawn. Iran, over which U.S. imperialism lost complete control with the 1979 revolution, is seen as an obstacle to this goal and under imminent threat of an imperialist Zionist military attack. Such aggression cannot be carried out without the support of Turkey, which shares a long border with Iran. Ankara, which played a major role in the rise to power of the al-Qaeda-affiliated Hayat Tahrir al-Sham, the HTS militia in Syria in December 2024, is seen as a critical part of a U.S.-led anti-Iranian axis, along with the new regime in Damascus and the Kurdish nationalist movement, with which Turkey is trying to reach an agreement through imprisoned Kurdistan Workers' Party, the PKK leader Abdullah Öcalan. That's why Trump wants to work closely with Erdogan, whom he calls a good leader and my friend. Erdogan spoke to Trump by phone 3 days before İmamoğlu's detention. Trump's Middle East envoy described the phone call as great and transformational. Turkish Foreign Minister Hakan Fidan received a warm welcome in Washington on March 25th, 26th, amid arrests and mass protests in Turkey. On the same days, Elon Musk's X, formerly known as Twitter, blocked access to numerous accounts broadcasting protests and police brutality in Turkey. The European imperialist powers also see the Erdogan government as a critical ally in the midst of the growing tensions with the U.S. and the deepening crisis in NATO. The European powers, who want to continue the war in Ukraine in opposition to a U.S. peace agreement with Russia, have formed a coalition of the willing and are planning to send NATO troops to Ukraine as so-called peacekeepers. Turkey, which controls the straits from the Mediterranean to the Black Sea and has the second largest military force in NATO, is believed to be playing a major role in these arson plans that could trigger a nuclear conflict in the name of peace. The dirty deal between EU and Turkey against refugees also plays an important role in Erdogan's calculation that his European allies will turn a blind eye to the repression of the political opposition in Turkey, despite their pro-EU and pro-NATO stance. Ankara hosts some 5 million refugees fleeing from imperialist wars and their consequences, especially in Syria, and prevents them from crossing to Europe. The Socialist Eşitlik Grubu calls for the release of İmamoğlu and all other CHP members arrested in violation of their right to a fair trial. However, this does not imply political support for the CHP. By its very nature, the CHP cannot advance the struggle for democratic rights. On the contrary, it is trying to divert the mass movement into the electoral framework and thus suppress it. Like the Erdogan government, it is opposed to a revolutionary working class movement that would challenge the capitalist system and bourgeois rule from which these fundamental problems stem. The CHP is a bourgeois nationalist party that is aligned with the same imperialist powers that collaborate with the Erdogan government and has proved once again that it is incapable of defending democratic rights. In order to calm down the fears of the Turkish bourgeoisie over a revolution, the CHP sought to reassure the imperialist powers and get their support by declaring that it is a NATO party. Numerous Stalinist and Pavlovite political tendencies have also fulfilled their role of preventing the development of a revolutionary socialist alternative by completely subordinating the mass movement to the leadership and politics of the CHP. The spinelessness and political capitulation of the CHP as a bourgeois party is part of a global phenomenon. As Leon Trotsky, who co-led the October Revolution of 1917 with Vladimir Lenin and founded the Fourth International in 1938, explained in his theory of permanent revolution, no faction of the bourgeoisie in the world in the present epoch can consistently defend democracy, social equality, and an anti-imperialist policy. These tasks fall to the working class, which creates social wealth and pays the price of imperialist war. The task of establishing workers' power and implementing socialist policies is not a national but an international one, and can be accomplished only through the victory of the socialist revolution on a global scale. The working class in Turkey must take its place in this struggle against imperialist war and the authoritarian regime under the slogan of the Middle East Socialist Federation. The fundamental question in Turkey and in all countries is to build a revolutionary party to lead the developing movement of the working class. This means building the International Committee of the Fourth International and the socialist equality parties affiliated to it. Those who agree with this perspective must act upon it and participate in the building of the Socialist Eşitlik Partisi, Turkey. WSWS hosts webinar with Momodou Tal, target of Trump's efforts to deport anti-war students. On Thursday, the World Socialist website hosted an urgent online event titled Stop the Attack on Momodou Tal. The webinar featured Momodou Tal, a British Gambian PhD student at Cornell University, facing imminent deportation, his attorney Eric Lee, David North, chairman of the Socialist Equality Party U.S., and Joseph Kishore, the SEP U.S. National Secretary. We urge our readers to watch the full event. Background and targeting of Momodou Tal. Thursday's event addressed the Trump administration's targeting of Tal after he filed a lawsuit challenging the constitutionality of recent executive orders aimed at suppressing pro-Palestinian speech. Within days of filing his lawsuit, Tal was ordered to surrender to ICE for deportation. A clear case of political retaliation similar to recent actions against other activists, including Mahmoud Khalil and Rumeysa Ozturk. Tal's case was connected to the broader assault on democratic rights and the accelerating global trend toward authoritarianism and dictatorship. Participants emphasized the need to mobilize the working class against state repression and in defense of free speech and immigrant rights. The event began with Tal speaking about his background and how he had come to be targeted by the Trump administration. A third-year PhD student in Africana Studies at Cornell, Tal has been at the center of campus protests calling for university divestment from weapons manufacturers and companies profiting from the U.S.-backed Israeli genocide in Gaza. Following a protest at Cornell on September 18, 2024, against a recruitment drive by defense contractors L3Harris and Boeing, Tal faced serious repercussions. He explained, quote, "I was there for about 5 minutes and then I left. Upon leaving, I then received an email that I had been suspended. I was called into a meeting which essentially said, you'll be de-enrolled within 48 hours and you have to leave the country soon. End quote. After a public outcry, Cornell allowed Tall to maintain his enrollment but imposed restrictions on his campus activities. This disciplinary action later became the basis for the federal government's targeting of Tall under Executive Order 14188, signed by Trump on January 29th. On March 15, 2025, Tall, along with fellow Cornell student Sriram Parasharama and Professor Mukoma Wa-Ngugi, filed a lawsuit challenging the constitutionality of Trump's executive orders targeting pro-Palestinian speech. Just 4 days later, unidentified agents began surveilling Tall's residence near campus, and by March 21, the Justice Department ordered him to surrender for deportation. A political attack on democratic rights. During the webinar, Tall described the political targeting he faces, stating, quote, I think given the nature of the escalation to the fact that protest is now being seen as a deportable offense makes me have to step back and question what is really happening here. It can't just be on the merits or the actions that have been taken by protesters, but rather because it ties into a broader critique of U.S. foreign policy, the state of Israel, the genocide, the working class more broadly, and I think these are what's feeding into the repression, end quote. Tall's attorney Eric Lee emphasized the unprecedented nature of the government's actions, noting, quote, Momodou's case is a test case. It's a trial run. The Trump administration plans to do many, many more people, permanent residents, visa holders, citizens, what it's trying to do to Momodou and what it's trying to do to the other students that it's snatching off of college campuses and public sidewalks and their homes across the country right now. We're supposed to mark the 250-year anniversary since the founding of the country in 1776 next year, and the writing of the Declaration, the great historic document and revolutionary achievement of mankind. In the run-up to this, we have a government that is moving very rapidly to establish a dictatorship. There's no historical precedent for such a broad restriction on freedom of speech. The closest example is the Alien and Sedition Acts of 1798, the hated anti-canon of the illegalization of criticism of the government. But even there, not to make light of the implications of the Alien and Sedition Acts, that legislation only banned libel against the government. These executive orders ban telling the truth. These are not orders that come from a position of strength. They are a direct attempt to shut the valve on left-wing, anti-imperialist, socialist, pro-Palestinian, anti-genocide views to not only non-citizens, but those citizens, those millions and millions of us who want to hear those views and have a right to hear those views, end quote. The role of the Democratic Party in the way forward. In his remarks, SEP U.S. National Secretary Joe Kishore placed Tall's case in its broader political context, condemning the complicity of the Democratic Party, quote, This has to really be seen as an absolute condemnation of the Democratic Party, which is doing nothing to oppose it. Momodou referred to the role of Cornell University in creating the framework for what Trump is now doing by seeking to discipline him during the protests against the genocide last year. The Biden administration was overseeing, financing, politically justifying the genocide, as well as the attacks on protesters in the U.S., bringing forward the lie, which is now being resurrected by this gang of fascists in the Trump administration, that opposition to Israel is anti-Semitic, and opposition to the genocide is anti-Semitic. All of that, the basis was created by the Democratic Party, which supports it, end quote. Summing up the event, SEP U.S. National Chairman David North drew out the parallels between the return of fascist barbarism today and its historical antecedents in the Nazi regime in Germany, stating, quote, This is not something entirely new in history. What we are witnessing is the resurgence of imperialism in its most brutal forms. It is a sort of experience which was passed through with horrific consequences frequently in the 20th century in the form of World War I and World War II. In just a few weeks, in May, we will be observing 80 years since the end of World War II, the end of the Nazi regime, and yet everywhere throughout the world we are witnessing a resurgence of fascism, that is, capitalist barbarism. All the cases we've discussed tonight, the case of Momodou, very much personify the international character of these struggles. The protest took place over the atrocities in Gaza, supported by all the imperialist powers. American students are opposing it and demonstrating against it, and the response of the state is repression, and that repression is part of a broader campaign to wipe out democratic rights in the U.S. What we're putting forward, what the World Socialist website advances, the Socialist Equality Party here in the U.S., and all the sections of the International Committee of the Fourth International throughout the world, is the mobilization of the working class on an internationalist and socialist program. That is the critical issue. It is a question of perspective, because on the basis of a perspective, you can fight and we can win, end quote. The event ended with a call for solidarity with Tall and other targeted anti-war activists, with North urging viewers to become active in the struggle to mobilize the working class against fascism and war by contacting the World Socialist website and joining the Socialist Equality Party or its youth movement, the International Youth and Students for Social Equality. You can find these items and more at wsws.org.
The World Socialist website is published by the International Committee of the Fourth International, the ICFI, the leadership of the World Socialist Movement, the Fourth International founded by Leon Trotsky in 1938. The World Socialist website relies entirely on the donations of readers and listeners for financial support. To give to the WSWS or to set up a regular monthly contribution, go to wsws.org/donate. We urge our listeners to join the International Committee of the Fourth International and one of its affiliated political parties and take up the struggle for socialism.